Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. It's Tuesday night in the big town. It's North Potomac, Maryland. That's right. Broadcasted from North Potomac, Maryland every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. We're talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. Beyond. That could be New Rochelle. That could be New York. It could be Maryland. It could be Virginia. It could be anywhere. It could be the whole United States. It could be France. It could be Russia. Whatever you want to talk about, that's what we talk about. But I definitely set the agenda because that's what I do. Nobody likes hearing himself talk more than I do, so get used to it. Hey, but if you do want to get on the show, Outside Looking In with me, Bruce Negrin, the phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. Got a couple topics tonight. We're starting to get into the Maryland theme of things, mostly the Montgomery County theme of things. We'll talk about the white elephant, if it's still there. What's the white elephant? Also, I'll talk about a second Potomac River crossing. Where will it be? It's an important issue for anybody who lives in the North Potomac area. You got to understand what this is going to do to the area, and is the traffic and the economic development as important as ripping up wetlands and things to that effect. We'll have to see, so we'll discuss that. And also what I want to talk about, and I'm serious about this, is the panhandling in Montgomery County. You know, you can be progressive. You can be liberal. You can be anything. But the one thing you can't do is let the fabric of your community deteriorate, and this panhandling on every block, every median, off of every numbered road in Montgomery County starting to get ridiculous. We'll talk about that as well. Also, I want to talk about Larry Hogan, the Republican GOP governor of Maryland. What's his story? Is he going to be a friend to Montgomery County or a foe? It's just strange. You wonder if retribution is going to take place from what he's talking about in terms of his speeches and how, you know, Montgomery County and Prince George's County didn't vote for him, or Baltimore City, and see if he's going to push back on that and say, you guys made a mistake, because he had mentioned something that in one of his speeches. But anyway, there are a lot of other things covering Montgomery County. We're talking about bell times for high school seniors, and for every elementary school and middle school child in the area. Talking about pushing those back, it is amazing how much money it's going to cost for some of these places to get their bell times pushed back. But I'll tell you, for high school, it amazes me that these kids got to get up before dawn to get on a bus to get to school by 7:30 or 7:20. That's ridiculous, in my opinion. I mean, 15, 16-year-olds, yeah, they shouldn't be lazy. But, you know, if that's the case, especially in this county, go have them milk a cow or something. Put them to work instead of school for a little bit. No, and I mean that because I remember the first time. This is how lazy I was. In New York, where I grew up, we didn't have to be to school till about 7:45, maybe 8. I don't even remember anymore. But I know we weren't in class at 7:30. Or sitting in our desks at 7:20, or getting up at 6:30. I was probably getting up at 7:20, so I might have been going to school at 8:30, 8:15. But anyway, you know, I mean, sending kids off into the dark, I don't want to get up in the dark. Now we got kids at a bus stop waiting. And this dovetails into everything. We got another severe weather warning from the National Weather Service coming in. So guess what? School is going to be closed tomorrow, or it's going to be a two-hour delay. Bet the clocks on it. It's supposed to start at 6 o'clock in the morning, so everyone's going to be out there worried as heck. You know, we can't get caught. Fairfax County got caught last week, and I think Loudoun got caught in Virginia. So what's going to happen? They're going to close the schools or delay them. And I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to lie to you. I got two kids, 5 and 7, and I just can't take it anymore. It's the first time that I've been tired as a parent. Of course, there are times it's like, stop the yelling, stop this. But we have 14 or 15 days off from school in December. Then we come in, we have a don't start school till January 5th. We have snow day on January 6th. We go into the 18th and 19th and 20th, 2 days off for Martin Luther King Day, which absolutely. And then they have a developmental day for teachers. I don't even know what it's for. Sometimes if the marking period is supposed to end yesterday, so I guess they were doing the report cards or something. But for a county that is so worried about snow and about closing schools and not having enough time for schools to complete, you know, if we miss 5 days, we miss 10 days, all the teachers yelling and screaming, don't take your developmental days in January. You know, I do appreciate that if you're going to have it in January, that you put it together so people could take a long weekend. It was pretty empty around here. But, you know, don't take your days in January if this is what it's going to be. Maybe you have to. I don't know. You know, I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth here. You know, the uninformed opinion is always the loudest opinion, so that's why I'm screaming into this microphone. But really, back things out of January so we don't have to worry about snow or two-hour delays. We had two-hour delays, or actually one, and then we had one the other day where it was a school two-hour delay into a school closing. You know, and I guess they're doing this for child safety, which I get. I understand it. There's a lot of factors that go into it. I was reading about this in the Washington Post the other day. You know, it's, will snow crews have enough time to plow neighborhood streets and major roads before school buses begin their routes? But what's going to happen tomorrow if it's supposed to start snowing at 6 and the kids are already out there? I don't know. You know, how will snow affect students who drive, take public transportation, and walk to school? You know, again, you gotta worry about safety. But these questions, I mean, they err on the side of caution, which I guess is the right thing to do. But also, will teachers and other staff be able to get to school on time? Will working parents have enough time to make other plans for their kids if schools are closed? You know, this is the thing. Working parents, if they can get to work, why can't the kids get to school? Now, the school districts try to get everything done by 5 a.m., but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And sometimes they go on a two-hour delay. So you got to delay the high school so everybody gets delayed. I mean, my kid doesn't go to school till 10:15, gets to school at 10:30. What do we have in school for? And I guess when you have the two-hour delays, you don't have to say that school was canceled, so you can count it as a day. So expect it tomorrow. Expect it tomorrow. But anyway, getting back to the bell times, I was working in Atlanta, Georgia, living down there, and I got a job that asked me to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I was setting my alarm for 6:20, 6:15. Back when you're 22, 23, 24 years old, you know, you could shower in 2 minutes, comb your hair in 2 minutes, brush your teeth in 2 minutes, and then put on a suit and tie just as quickly. And if you're not a coffee drinker, especially, because, you know, oh, I need my coffee to get up. I need my coffee. So if you don't need it, you can be out the door and there. But, boy, I was mad. It's like, I got to be at work at 7 a.m.? What the heck? Who the heck? And these kids are going to school. I mean, I was 23. I had to earn a living. This was for money. These kids are going to school at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, let me tell you about something. My mom passed away when I was in 11th grade, 1985. By that time, if my mom and dad didn't raise me to be a good kid, the right kid, I could have been in a lot of trouble. Because my dad was working, and then by the time I got to my senior year in high school, halfway through the year because of AP courses and stuff like that, yeah, I'm a smart guy. How you like me now? But because of AP courses, I was getting out of school at 11:45. You know, I had lunch. I had a free period, et cetera. So I was getting out of school at 11:45. Going to school at 8, getting home at 11:45. A full day ahead of me to do what? Exactly, to get in trouble. To get in trouble. You know, I mean, when you get home too early and your parents aren't home yet, you know, you could go all this Bartiz stuff that you want for elementary school kids and middle school kids. But when you're a high school kid, you're not going to some daycare. You're going home. And that's where the trouble starts. That's where the trouble starts. At least I think so. I don't know. But I'm not for this stuff. I mean, what do they do for practices, for football practice? Do they practice at 3 o'clock? You know, you're out on Friday. Your game's at 7 or 6:30. You're out of school at 2:15. What are you doing? You going home or are you just staying at school? Questions that I guess I will soon find out in about 5 or 6 years when my kids go to elementary school or go to high school and find out all this kind of stuff. What else am I frustrated about before we get into the issues that really matter? I'm tired of computers and cell phones and iPads and all of this kind of stuff. I just had a birthday, got another year older. So I guess I just punched my card to be official curmudgeon. You know, because I'll tell you, I'm just not digging it anymore. I'm not digging all of this stuff. The computer and all of this stuff just brings me bad news or idiotic news. I don't like it. You need your computer for work, but you sit in front of it every day staring at it. And then if it's not working, you start looking at other websites and stuff like that. And I told you, I'm one of the worst surfers of all time, internet surfers. I read the New York Post. I read the Washington Post. I read the New York Times every once in a while when it doesn't annoy me. And that's about it. I check out Hockey North America. You know, it's funny because I haven't played a game in a week or so, but I'm still checking the stats to see where I'm standing. It's ridiculous.
It
might have changed in a day. It hasn't changed at all. What the heck are you checking men's league stats for anyway, you big, ego-driven, no-good? That's ridiculous. Hey, this is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Snegren. We're here every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. Just for a couple people out there, it's funny because you get on the air, you start talking to some people, and they're like, ask you, do you really go to McDonald's for breakfast? Do you really know Ira? Yeah, why not? But so anyway, what I did this week is I changed it up. I didn't go to McDonald's at all. I went to the Corner Bakery, I think it is, at the Rio, or the Washingtonian and the Rio, right by Dick's Sporting Goods. I was over there because, here's a little tip for you. Anybody who's going to Crest Cleaners, you're nuts. You're nuts. You could try to run it, but you're nuts. I'm telling you.
I can handle things. Because I'm smart.
No, you're not smart, Fredo. If you're going to Crest Cleaners, you're not smart. And I'll tell you why. Shirts over there, to get a shirt dry cleaned or washed, laundry, let me tell you. This is men's clothing, so it's just laundered. $350, $375. You know, a suit, $13, $14. Those prices are ridiculous. Finally, I heard a commercial for Zips Cleaners, and I take no money from them or nothing. They charge me through the nose for whatever. They charge me full price for everything, so this is not a paid commercial endorsement. I am not Chuck Woolery. But you go there. $1.99 for shirts, which I think is a lot for any garment. I still think that's a lot. But it is so much cheaper. You know, you go to Crest Cleaners up in the Kentlands over here. You come out, your bill is $123. You go to Zips. I washed like six coats, you know, had them dry cleaned, etc. Got everything done. And they're like, excuse me, Mr. Negron, that'll be $29. I was like, bet. I almost kissed the lady. I was like, $29? Let me take off these clothes and give them to you also. I walked out of there naked. I was just in my underwear. I'm serious. I am serious. Don't go to Crest Cleaners. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, maybe they're environmentally friendly or green or whatever. I don't know. I should find out before I start talking. But if you're not Mr. Moneybags, if you're not Mr. Monopoly running around throwing hundreds at everybody, go to Zips Cleaners. It's worth it. That's my tip to you. It only took me a year and 5 months to figure that one out. But then again, I work from home, so I don't really wear that much clothing. So this time I decided, it's like for Christmas or for Hanukkah and all those holiday seasons, I don't want any clothing. Don't buy me clothing. That's not what I'm looking for, because I got to start wearing what's in my closet. I mean, how many times, like during the summer, I don't think I put on a pair of pants unless I had to go out to a meeting or something. So I'm wearing shorts all summer, you know, and T-shirts. And I got all these nice clothes sitting in my closet. I was like, now I'm just, you know, I'm wearing them to take out the garbage. I don't care anymore. I got to clean out that closet. I'm looking sharp. Seriously, I'm like ZZ Top, man. I ain't kidding you. So that's my public service announcement. Go to Zips Cleaners. Do not go to Crest Cleaners if you want to pay less. Phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. So let's get right to the issues here. I want to talk about if the white elephant still stands in Silver Spring. Do you know about this? Have you heard about this? Do you know about this? It's the Intermodal Transportation Center that was built by Montgomery County and supposed to be handed over to Metro and Silver Spring about 5 or 6 years ago, if not longer. I lost the article on the internet here. I tried to be digital. I tried to be a digital guy. And didn't work out, so I'll have to speak off the top of my head on this particular one. But I remember coming down here, talking to a guy, Buddy Alves, at the MTA in Baltimore, the Maryland Transit Association in Baltimore. You know, he's telling me, I want to do your Z-cards, Bruce. I want to do your Z-cards. I'm like, that's okay, no problem. He goes, I'm going to put some Old Bay on them. No, but he says he wants to do them, so Z-card is a fold-out pocket brochure, et cetera. We use it for transit, blah, blah, blah. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is, after he tells me about this, he goes, I might have some other work for you, this Silver Spring Transit Center that we're building. You know, we're ready to go. And this is about 6 or 7 years ago. If say 5 years ago, be conservative, so we don't have to be blamed of hyperbole. So it's about 5 years ago. That's our number, right? I go in there, and he's like, oh, it should be open in March. I call him. I talked to him in January. I call him in February. I said, you ready to do these cards? He goes, oh, we've had some delays. We're going to push it back a little bit. I'm like, okay. You know, he goes, we're looking at October. That's fine. No problem. October turned into December. December turned into January. January turned to next January. And on and on and on. It was like herbal essence. They told 3 months, and they told 3 months, and they told 3 months. It was ridiculous. So what's happening now? That transit center had too many cracks. It was structurally unsound. They couldn't use it. They built it from the ground up. It's standing structure. It's there. In Silver Spring, which is a city, you know, especially right where that place is. But it's a city. But they can't put anything in it. Nobody can use it, and it's been sitting empty for 5 years. And it's sitting empty because it's deemed unsafe. So what do they have to do? They have to rob Peter to pay Paul here. And what I mean by that is what Montgomery County's doing, they have to build it. That means they have to put it up, they have to shore it up, because now they're going to be in a lawsuit with the contractor, and that's going to get dragged out for another 10 years. So guess where your money is going? Your money's going to fix a structurally unsound parking garage in Silver Spring that was supposed to handle buses and transit and everything. Where they just bonded for it, so luckily the interest rates are low for Montgomery County. You know, if you're going to bond, now's the time to bond. With interest rates low, a lot of governments have been able to, you know, get out of higher rate bonds and cut their interest rates and, you know, I don't know about lower their taxes, but maybe maintain them. But this place, I mean, years and years, I had good mind to call Buddy Alves tomorrow, find out when this place is going to open. Because they asked the Montgomery County Council, George Leventhal, the president of Montgomery County Council, asked the transportation director or the buildings and safety, again, I wish I had the names, but I asked them, it's like, my constituents want to know if this thing should just not be torn down. Millions upon millions of dollars. Millions that won't be seen again. You know, and they'll never, you figure, okay, if they win the lawsuit, if Montgomery County wins the lawsuit, you know, how much money are they going to get back? That lawsuits are sort of fraudulent as well, because you say, oh, you're going to get all this money. You've been awarded all of this money. You know what it's like? It's like signing a non-guaranteed contract in the NFL. Oh, he's going to make $60 million over a five-year contract. Yeah, but only $4 million to $10 million is guaranteed, so he can get cut any time after that. And that's what's going to happen here with lawsuits. Everybody's like, oh, he won $1 million in a lawsuit. By the time you collect and get paid off of that, if you get paid, plus all the fees that you have to pay out on it, it's a losing proposition. But this thing, what's bothering me about this now, they're building a North Potomac Rec Center. I'll give Montgomery County one thing. They like their recreation down here, and I truly appreciate it. We mentioned this last week about all the different pocket parks and rec centers, et cetera, and the city rec departments, et cetera. But they're going to take money from the construction budget of the North Potomac Rec Center that's being built, and they're going to take that and put it to the Silver Spring Transit Center. You know, the funds from different projects are being siphoned, let alone with the bonding, to different areas. But they promise, they swear. And how can you swear to this? Unless you're taking the bonding to refill, or either you're paying for the transit center or you're paying for the rec center. Because that bonding, I can't believe that unless they're doing general bonds where they can put it anywhere, you know, that money is not going back to the rec center, and that rec center is going to be delayed. But they swear it will be on time. again, I hate to be cynical about this. I mean, government, when has government ever come through on anything? Years and years ago, New York City tried to build Lasker Rink up in, was it Lasker or the other rink in Central Park, right? They couldn't do it, and it was a big money suck, everything, and no matter what you say about the guy, Donald Trump came in, turned that rink around under budget in about a year's less time than what the city of New York was going to try to do. Government has too many layers to be efficient. You know that. I know that. Too many layers. Or as Willie Cheechee would say, buffers. Just buffers. But this thing is still sitting idle, and it's a real issue that people got to start, you know, outside of the little sphere of influence in Silver Spring, just because you don't drive by it doesn't mean it doesn't affect you. The thing about all this government stuff, just because it's not in your face doesn't mean it doesn't affect you. Everyone's worried about that speed camera that they put on Travilla. They're worried about the speed camera on Quince Orchard or wherever you're driving, on Frederick or wherever. Yeah, that got me. I see that, so I'm mad at that. But you got to stand up, and you got to understand what's going on here. And Montgomery County, you know, there's Montgomery County media. There's The Patch, which is, you know, The Patch, telling me what movies are going in and off of Netflix. You know, I'm sure there's something in Montgomery County that they could be talking about, a countywide issue. It doesn't just have to be North Potomac. It just doesn't have to be Gaithersburg or Rockville or Bethesda or Chevy Chase. There's got to be something out there that's countywide that people are interested in. Or you just got to send it out countywide, because this is the thing about counties. And I'll tell you this before, I never understood it, but now I do. It's county. Where I come from, counties don't have that much power. New York State, I mean, the counties, and there's counties government, but it's just an extra layer. Buffers, right? Extra layer. Once again, an extra layer. Pretty interesting, though. I just got my tax bill. I got my mortgage and my escrow. Two things that happened in Montgomery County that made me happy, but this is what you also get nickel and dimed about outside of straight property taxes. But my property taxes went down last year. My escrow went down. I guess they overestimated. And now escrow is only going up $4. Well, $4 a month, so it's going up more than that. But that's a pretty reasonable tax increase for me. I don't want to pay extra taxes, but that's pretty reasonable in my opinion. And I'm willing to pay for services if services are good. I think everybody should be. You know, I mean, it's the quality. But this thing that stands in Silver Spring, that transportation center, that's a shame. It's a shame. I mean, it's a travesty. And people's feet should be held to the fire for that one. You know, you can't have a project sitting empty, fallow for 7 years because of structural problems. You better, you know, that's bad news. They got you. They got you, and they got you bad. There's no doubt about it. 8:23, Tuesday night, January 20th. This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negger. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. So let me get to this other issue. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I definitely want to talk about this one because it eats me alive. And again, the program is called Outside Looking In, and I want to tell you why, because I'm down here, haven't been ingrained in the Montgomery County or Maryland yet, where I know everything about it. I'm trying. I'm reading the papers. I'm trying to find out where to get my news. This is going to be a program for where you can get your news about the county. But I'm trying, and I'll give you that, or you got to give me that. But I'm still outside. I'm an outsider. I'm looking in. I'm like, what's going on over there? What are you doing over there? Hey, you, come back. No, so I'm trying to find out what's going on there, and plus, I'm an outsider from where I came from now, where I grew up in New York, just outside New York City, a town called New Rochelle. I'm an outsider up there. But, you know, there's certain things. It's like New Rochelle just passed a law, and New Rochelle's like the seventh largest city in New York State. It's got 72,000 people. It's a city. It's urban enough. It's got nice suburbs, but it's urban enough when you go downtown. And the thing is if you work in New York City, you take the trains. That's one thing that's amazing to me here is the train system in Montgomery County or in Maryland itself. I mean, people in New York rely on the train. You can go from New Haven down to Grand Central to Midtown Manhattan. We rely on the train. It's important. But anyway, there's a whole thing about living in my old hometown where you go out, and if you were a commuter, you would go downtown because a lot of people didn't go downtown. It's like, oh, downtown New Rochelle has nothing for me. There's no shopping. There's no nothing. None of this. I get it. But there's some of us who had to go there every day and be part of it. So you're downtown and you see what's going on. And aggressive panhandling got a little bit out of hand in New Rochelle. I mean, you're coming out of a CVS, and you don't expect this in a residential neighborhood. Residential areas, mostly residential. You know, you go to the CVS and you're getting accosted by, you know, panhandlers. Give me a dime, give me a dime, give me money, give me money. So they finally passed a law, which I asked for about 4 years ago. You know, I brought up the point about 4 years ago. You got to look at your downtown. You know, people don't want to see what's wrong. The problem with government sometimes is that they won't take a real look at what's wrong to make it better. They would just rather try to make it better. That lipstick on a pig, curtains on a broken window. They would much rather tell you what's great about something instead of actually looking at the real problem and trying to fix it. But anyway, this panhandling I was talking about in New Rochelle, they got to do something down here. It's a little bit ridiculous. Go anywhere throughout this county. Anywhere throughout this county. And once you're parked at a median, and the thing is, you're parked at this median for 5 minutes, because if you're trying to make a left turn and you miss it, you know, it's going to be 5 minutes until you can make that left turn again because you're stuck at that red light. And this guy walks up and down, up and down, up and down. And believe me, I am not against helping those that need help. If you're a human being, you should be helping those who need help. But this, you know, I mean, it's this whole scam thing. It's a scam. No, really, and I wonder sometimes, and I'm not trying to be callous, I'm not trying to be funny here, but how much money can you make? I guess daily you make $100 a day going up and down, knocking on windows. It's got to be profitable, otherwise people wouldn't do it. I mean, last week I was making a joke about it, but I see it. Every time I drive a little bit further around this county, you see it. And, you know, progressives and liberals and all this nonsense, you got to do something about it. Protect your investments. You know, Montgomery County, the highest taxed area in the area, the highest taxed county in the area. We have the best schools. We have this. We have that. Well, you know, next to your best school, across from Quinch Orchard High School, you got a guy bumming for change. 200 feet down from Rachel Carson, who everybody in this area thinks is the greatest thing since sliced bread, that school. Hey, we go to Rachel Carson. Our kids are smarter than yours. Pipe down there, Pippi Longstocking. Seriously, just pipe down for a second. A lot of good schools around here, but protect your investment. You know, I mean, up on that corner near California Tortilla, there are two stores that went out because of rents. So now you got a guy bumming for change, and you got two stores that are out. Doesn't look good, does it? Economic engine, driving the economic engine, doesn't look good. You have to start enforcing these rules. And you could put up speed cameras everywhere you look. Start writing some tickets. Start getting these guys off the street because it's not right. It's not right. It's an imposition. And again, there are other ways to help. And I do. So that's why I have no guilt in saying what I'm saying now, because I do help in other ways. NG. Not good. Not good at all. But we're talking about government, and seriously, government makes me laugh. Because the people who want to govern and the people who think they can get things done, they don't have the charisma to get in there. A great administrator, but he's not a leader. Sometimes the great administrator is what you need to get things through. There are a lot of those guys who are sitting in the second chair who haven't been elected. A lot of times people who are in government aren't running the government. It's the second in command that are actually putting the laws together and drawing it up, these scholars who actually know what they're talking about but can't press the flesh for the life of them. You know, I'd rather be a behind-the-scenes guy. That's what I want to be. I'm the brains behind the scenes, the man behind the curtain. That's the way it's working out in a lot of these places. But Montgomery County, I'll tell you, I've been reading, trying to read everything I can about Montgomery County. And now that it's State of the Union time and inauguration time, it's an interesting stuff because I know what I'm reading, and it's all the same. Here's something that I pulled out of the Washington Post as well, talking about the state agenda. In the House chamber, Bush ticked off specific issues lawmakers will need to address, strengthening education and the healthcare system, protecting Chesapeake Bay, and building a vibrant economy. Woo-hoo! No kidding. You know, this is why people get upset with the political insiders. This is why an Elizabeth Warren is starting to gain traction, because people hear the same old, same old. There was a meeting the other day, the other day, it might have been in December, but John Delaney, the state senator, had it talking about the I-270 corridor meeting. What do you think they talked about there? Traffic, bus lanes, the same old thing. Finally, Aruna Miller out of Montgomery County said something about, you know, we've been talking about this since 1994. How long has 270 been open? We're talking about this since 1994. You know, she said some numbers, though, that just boggled my mind. They're talking about this Life Sciences Center in Gaithersburg, Rockville area, I guess by Shady Grove. But according to Ms. Miller, there are going to be 100,000 high-paying jobs, $13 billion worth of annual goods and services, and $322 million in state taxes once it's built. I'm being quiet so that can sink in for a second. 100,000 high-paying jobs in this life sciences area, life sciences center. You know, from your mouth to God's ears, I'm serious about that. But that seems a little pie in the sky to me. I mean, my question here is, where is this being built? I've seen these signs for it, but is this being built in, like, Travilla Gateway, or is this going to be where Bellward Farm is coming? You know, they talk about transportation being an economic engine, and for sure it is. For sure it is. But getting better traffic and better traffic flow, is it going to make that much of a difference in money? I mean, I guess if you can go up to Frederick, you know, Frederick gets a chance to attract more workers and more business because you'll have cheaper land up there. So, yeah, okay, it works. I could see the arguments on that side. But, I mean, the point of what I was saying with this John Delaney meeting about the I-270 corridor is that talk. I have a soundbite from the meeting. Listen to John Delaney. Bus lanes. Expand the traffic to 8-9 lanes. Do this, do that. The same thing since 1994. Clean up the Chesapeake. Education. I mean, what's Obama going to say tonight? The State of the Union is going to be the same old, same old, same old, same old. But no, this guy might, he just might go out on a limb there and say whatever he wants. Because what's the difference? There's a guy who doesn't even have to be a politician anymore. He could just say whatever he wants. He's free. He's free. You know, the only thing that's going to bound him is his legacy. And that's what he's governing for now, is his legacy. But that's the thing about Elizabeth Warren also. You know, she's getting a lot of press in the Washington Post, and I'm cutting out all of these articles because I'm trying to see why. She's a political outsider. And you know what? I'm going to catch myself right now talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm going to tie it back into the point. The point being, I'm not going to tell you the point yet. You got to hang on. Wait for that. No, but Elizabeth Warren, the outsider. Is Obama not the outsider, or is he so outside that he was inside? He was outside looking in, but he was already inside. I mean, look, the guy, the job, no matter what you say, the job is big. It's bigger than him. I don't think he expected what it was to be president. There's a guy who wanted the campaign, saw the window. We talked about this again ad infinitum last week. But he saw the window. He took it. That, my friends, is ambition. That, my friends, is gumption. That, my friends, is what we should all aspire to. You see the opportunity, don't sit back. Grab it. Grab it. And that's what he did. He grabbed it. And then he got a second term. But he was the political outsider. And what has the political outsider done? You know, you got to have some kind of understanding of government, or you got to surround yourself with better people. Maybe his number twos aren't so good. You know, I'm not going to say intelligence. They have intelligence, but they just might not know how to push an agenda through. A Valerie Jarrett, a Susan Rice. You know, surround yourself with a Jay Carney. I mean, it's – although he's gone. I mean, the smart people have left his – the smart and political savvy people have left his cabinet. It's just, you know, when you talk about the outsiders, you got to have some understanding of how it works. And I don't know if I want any senators anymore or House of Reps people, you know. I don't know if I need that. I want someone who knows how to run something, someone who knows how to be an executive. So that governorship, to me, is a pretty darn good resume, tick off on the resume. I was a senator. Oh, so that means you can you can do by committee. You can do when the whip helps you out. The majority leader helps you out. You know, you can garner votes because you were a team player. Don't need to be a team player. You need to get things through. So anyway, the point being was what I was saying before, or trying to tie this in, is that, you know, the people, sometimes you just don't need people who know how to get elected. You need people to know how to govern. This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negger, and I'm here every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County. Or as my son say, Montgomery. Montgomery. It's like, Ryan, why do you say it that way? Montgomery. Montgomery. The phone number is 773-897-6423. It's 773-897-6423. Give me a call. See what's on your mind. Love to talk to you. Guess what? We'll be right back.
Never too much.
Welcome back to Outside Looking In with Bruce Negger, and it's Tuesday night, 8:40. We got about 20 minutes left in the show, so if you want to get on the air, give me a call. Phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. So something happened in D.C., which was a tragedy, and this is for real a tragedy. A rider on Metro lost their life on the yellow line from smoke inhalation by La Fontaine Plaza. And a lot of questions going on, a lot of people trying to find out what really happened. You saw the timeline. It took the fire department about 35 minutes to get to this car where the smoke inhalation was coming on. And I can't imagine it. I mean, I just can't imagine that. I would think that they would have some, you know, self-evacuation or something like that. Somebody had mentioned that the other day, but it's sad. It's a terrible story. You know, I can't think of anything worse other than maybe drowning. I mean, it's the same thing, smoke inhalation. But, you know, now everybody is in the newspaper talking about Metro. You know, the rebuilding must include restoring riders' trust and agency, according to Dr. Gridlock Robert Thompson. This was an article on the 18th of on Sunday's paper in the Washington Post. You could see that's where I get a lot of my stuff from. But hey, I live in Washington. But anyway, you know, rebuilding riders' trust in the agency. Here comes the perfect example of the outsider looking in, right? I am the outside looking in. Is there anything in D.C. that people trust? You know, I live in Montgomery County, and I live out in the boondocks, so to speak. I'm only 17 miles from downtown D.C. Not the easiest ride. It was, you know, if you got to go on the GW or the Clara Barton or whatever. Not the easiest ride downtown, but we're only 17 miles. And people out here think it's a world away. And this is what amazes me. You have the capital of the United States down there. But what is it? Why don't people go? Crack infested. It's just crime. You know, there's no faith in the police, no faith in the fire department. You know, and I got to say, in some of these cases, especially when you read the Washington Post, it's like, what was that story that happened in the summer where the guy was having a heart attack and he was like 500 feet away from the from the firehouse, and somebody's son ran in there and said, "We need help," and no one would go. The firemen knew the CPR, but they wouldn't go to resuscitate the guy because they need the official call. I mean, that's kind of stuff where you do lose faith in an agency. And now Metro, you're losing faith in them. I mean, when they put people in danger. You know, New York, and again, there's going to be a dichotomy, there's going to be a juxtaposition, all of that kind of stuff going on, because this is where I'm from. I'm from here, and I'm from there. But in New York, people falling into the train. You know, they've had one situation, I believe, in the last 5 years of where one of the trains slipped the tracks and people got hurt. But they have people falling into the tracks, whether they're drunk or whatever. I don't know, man. When I was drinking, I would stay by that wall. I would hug that wall. So the last thing I need to be is on that yellow line looking over. I mean, that's another nightmare. It's like, oh, those thousand ways to die, that, oof. Ugh. But anyway, so they have the problems, and, you know, nothing is totally safe. But, you know, I mean, people are dying on the rails in with that red line crash about a year or so ago, if not a little bit longer. You know, safety culture, we got to bring it back. It's safety culture. I mean, that's why I guess it took a million years for the Silver Line to open up, because they had to keep testing. But does anybody have faith in D.C. agencies? You go down there and you just, I don't know. My perspective is, and from what I've heard from other people, and I've already had this perspective, hasn't been influenced, is that no one has confidence in the city of Washington, D.C., the district. A lot of great places down there. You know, I would like to live there. I'd like to be in some of these places. But I don't think anybody has any trust in it running itself. Is it because the responsibility is really to no one? There's no representation. There's no nothing. You know, to be mayor of D.C., it's a tough job. But it becomes a popularity contest more so than anybody who can run it. I think the case in point has been made a couple times over I don't have to name names on that particular one. But yeah, I mean, Metro, it's like an emergency plan. It's like, well, Metro didn't relay it to the fire department. The fire department couldn't get into the tracks because they weren't sure if the third rail had been turned off. People, you got to talk. And I... What's triply upsetting about this is that, what was it? Well, I guess, see, this is what amazes me, too, how people forget things. People forget things. You know, emergency plan. Damn, Skippy have an emergency plan. You're Washington, D.C. You know, I don't want to be an alarmist because I always hate when people do that. But, you know, it's happened, and you got to prepare yourself for the worst in this city. You know the reasons why. You know the reasons why. It is a target. New York City is a target. Washington, D.C. is a target. It's been targeted. They have been targeted. How could you not get people out of a train? Smoke inhalation. You can't respond for 35 minutes after the call comes in. You know, and there will be a blue ribbon panel to look at this. Not bringing anybody's life back. And guess what, D.C. now? Now in D.C. you're going to have to pay more in taxes because people are going to walk away with boatloads of cash. There better be a slush fund. But you're going to find out that maybe, you know, these people are going to find out too that, oh, I just got $1 million for being smoke inhalation. And they're going to find out that they're not going to get that money right away. You know, so it's tough, though. I mean, a lack of confidence because D.C. has so much to offer. Has so much to offer. For someone like me who's a history buff, who loves politics, I love going down there. I took my sons down there yesterday. My wife and I got in the car. You know, we got the four-day weekend. If you ever want to go to Washington, D.C., especially on a warm day, which yesterday was, if you ever want to go to D.C., go on King Day because everything is open and nobody's there. It might have been that extra day of school that nobody had. But it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic to go in there. We went to Museum of Natural History, and to see kids learn, see my kids learn. You know, I'm going to blow their horn right now. My kids are so smart. They're wonderful. And they go to Jones Lane, not Rachel Carson. But anyway, to go in there, and then we took them across the street. We went there. We saw, you know, evolution, the monkeys. It's like, after going in there and seeing us evolve from apes to Homo sapien, Neanderthal, etc., I'm a creationist. I believe in creation, all right? Science, man. That's just crazy. Science is crazy sometimes. To see that we evolved, how we evolved, and it's like, my goodness. You know, why? But this is what they said. They said, you know, after a while, man stopped climbing trees. But why? Wouldn't you think that would still be something? The curved foot is something that man would still need, the human would still need? Still trying to run away from a cheetah and stuff like that. You know, caveman trying to run away from a brontosaurus. I know they didn't live together. I know. But anyway, so I decided after looking at that, I'm a creationist. You know, Adam and Eve, that's it. Bam. So much easier to explain. So much easier to understand. And you know what's the problem? Some of you are probably buying that. Bruce, what are you talking about? Creationist? That's for crazy people. You're not crazy. You never know. But so what did we do after that? We got lunch. No, we went across the street to the National Archives. And I got a son. We got a placemat for my kids, a Melissa and Doug placemat that have the presidents. So they could tell you who the 11th president is. James K. Pork. That's our joke. That's my son Landon's joke. He's like, it's James K. Pork. I go, no, it's not. He goes, you're right, Dad. It's James K. Fork. Ha ha. And he goes, I'm like, who is it, you wise guy, you five-year-old wise guy? Who is it? I don't need to be talking to a mini-me. Just give me a straight answer. He goes, okay, Dad, it's James K. Polk. Exactly. Zachary Taylor came before him. It's just amazing. So anyway, we go there. We go see the Declaration of Independence. And we go see the Bill of Rights. We go see the Constitution. This is what I mean. People grow up 19 miles from this stuff and don't go down there. My son's class, you know when they go? They go for elementary school. They go and walk around D.C. to look at some of the monuments. That's wonderful, too. It's important, too. But go in and see the treasures that are there. The treasures. I mean, the Declaration of Independence, you better go see it now. Because pretty soon that thing is going to fade away. I know they're trying to preserve it, but I mean, it is on its way out. It is. You can't read the document. It's a good thing they have the enhancements, etc. And I'm serious about that. You can't read it. You couldn't sit there and read it underneath that glass. You can't see it. I mean, John Hancock, his signature is slowly disappearing. But I turned to my son, my oldest son, Ryan. I said, Ryan, this is why history is amazing, because George Washington touched this document. Thomas Jefferson touched this document. John Adams. Their blood, their sweat, not only went into it, it's probably on it. Tangible. History is tangible, and that's why it's important. And it's just have fun to share something with somebody like that. So I love that my kids love it. And that's why we go down to D.C. So, you know, although my feelings are elsewhere about some of the confidence, I don't have confidence in a lot of the city services. That's a pretty sweeping statement. It might be a bit unfair. But that's my perception. And, you know, when something happens on Metro like this, you know, my wife said something the other day. We were going to go to a concert down at the Verizon Center. And she's like, oh, we could. I said, we could take Metro. The Red Line will get you right there. We'll go to Shady Grove. But you got to depend on somebody else. You never know the reliability. You don't know anything of it. So that said, that spoke volumes to me. I was like, Gina, you're absolutely right. Volumes. But, yeah, I mean, you have to have your emergency plans in effect. You have to have them in effect. You can't let this stuff – you can't be tested. You can't fall asleep on this kind of stuff because it could happen on a much broader scale, a much grander scale. You know, having lived through 9/11 and being in the financial district when that happened, being a couple blocks down and getting caught in the storm of when the buildings fell, you know, it's very real. This is not some monster movie, which I don't understand. It's amazing. Wherever my wife and I go – we live in New York for a bunch of years. They blow up New York every time. Now we're down in D.C. What comes out? White House down, you know, asteroid's going to blow up D.C. and everything. I got to move somewhere where no one's going to blow me up. What the heck is going on? Serious. I'm serious about this. So current events, correct? Let's talk about current events for a second. Seth Rogen. We made him our punching bag last week. Let's make him our punching bag again. Saying that American Sniper, and I have not seen the film, is a propaganda film that's reminiscent of Nazi Germany. Seth, really? Really, you Canadian? I know a couple Canadians down here, so they're like, oh, don't go down that road. No, but it's like, come on. You know, I am not, I don't think it glorifies anything. I haven't seen the movie yet, so you say, how can you speak upon it? I mean, from what you read, it's how a guy dealt with 160 kills, killing 160 people that he knows he killed. A propaganda film? I don't know about that. You know, it's like, who wants to be that? You got to have a propaganda film. I mean, these people, if you call it that, then these people are already there. I went to play paintball for the first time in my life a couple months ago. It was somebody's birthday. So I go out there in like sweatpants and a heavy sweatshirt on a 90-degree day because I heard these things hurt. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be covered. I got a lot of layers, but I was sweating like a dog. But I go out there, and, you know, there are people out there who have $1,000 paintball rifles. They got army fatigues and, like, sabers bayonets, you know, on the front. I mean, they're oiling their guns, doing all this kind of stuff. They're in formations, and they're, we know how to fight army. You know, if that's the case, sign up right now. Don't go to paintball. Go right now and sign up and go overseas. If that's what you want, you can't bask in a military life. There are too many people who come home from these wars and don't want to talk about it, who don't ever mention it. You know what they've done. You know where they've been. You might not know what they've done, excuse me, but you know where they've been, and they don't want to talk about it. don't go out there and glorify the killing of people. And I'm not trying. I don't. I'm not a war hawk. I do think force needs to be met with force. I do think you need to stand up. I'm not. I do have second thoughts about ever putting someone's life on the line. But sometimes it's necessary, right? Sometimes it's necessary. But if you're going to be so hawkish that you can go out and pretend to be a military man, to pretend that you're the best paintball player of all time and you know all Army procedures, then what are you wasting my time for? Go out there, get a job, and do it. Become a corporal. Be there. I mean, I was revolted by it, if one can be revolted by something like that, but I was. I was a bit offended by it, too. If you want to play war, ooh. You know, I had Army men and all that kind of stuff, and I used to set them up on the Fisher-Price parking garage. My brother had the Fisher-Price airport. We used to take Super Balls and rubber bands and try to shoot all the guys down and send, here comes the bomb. So everybody's done something like that. You've played war in the backyard or something. But after a while, when you start to invest in war games, then there's something wrong. Go get a free AK, or go get a free M16 from your local recruiting station. That's how I feel about that. It's just one of those things. But Seth Rogen, shut up. You know, where did you come up with this opinion? Were you watching Nazi propaganda films when you were high and to compare them with American Sniper? Really, and I'm not like holding American Sniper up to say, this is America and we have to protect and we have to do. But just shut up, man. Make it just drug movies. Idiotic drug movies, talking about killing, assassinating the leader of North Korea. You didn't think he would get upset, and guess what? He got upset. It still irks me a bit. He got upset, and he came after you, and he came after your production company. He came after Sony. He disrupted freedom of speech. He gave him a reason. And the last thing I'll say about this also, and it's a tough thing to close on, but the Pope Francis had said something about Charlie Hebdo magazine. You know, and it said something to me too. It's like free speech. Is free speech to enrage people? You know, radical Islam, you can have it. You know, if a cartoon of Jesus Christ got put out there or of Moses or something like that, I would be upset too. But I don't think I'm taking a gun to somebody. I don't think I'm taking a knife to behead somebody. It's not a good thing. But the Pope said, you know, if you're going to inflame freedom of speech, you know, he's not saying don't do it to religion, but he's saying expect to get punched in the face. The problem is, where does the extremism come? Appropriate responses again, right? Seems to be a theme going back and forth for a while. But that's that. I hope you enjoyed the show. I sure did. Cathartic for me to sit here and talk out of my basement. Problem is, I had to clear off a whole plate of ZD to get to my microphone to talk to you today. But this is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin, and I'm here every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. We'll be talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and obviously beyond. Write this number down so you can give me a call next week at 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. Before I get out of here, let me just tell you, do something today that'll make you better tomorrow. I'll talk to you next week.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of things. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is within. Engines stop running, but I have no fear.
I'm not a clown, and I